oil executives take the hot seat on Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Putnam Investments, focused on finding opportunities one stock at a time on the web at putnam.com/large-cap-equity.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The national average for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline is now $3.98. And as cash-strapped drivers look for answers, Congress will be asking some questions about tax breaks for oil companies. Today, executives from the five biggest oil firms will testify at a Senate hearing. Marketplace's David Gura reports from Washington.
Some senators say the U.S. can't afford to give tax incentives to energy companies, especially when they're pulling in record profits. But Julian Lee, an analyst with the Center for Global Energy Studies, says CEOs will argue this is not about their bottom line.
It's about making operations in the United States competitive with operations that those same companies could undertake in West Africa or in the Caspian Sea or Brazil or anywhere else in the world.
Executives will also face questions about the climbing cost of oil. Caroline Bain is with the Economist Intelligence Unit.
Consumption of oil has been growing strongly, particularly in the developing world. And what with the removal of Libyan oil from the market has tightened quite a lot.
She says prices have also gone up because of speculation.
At a time of very low interest rates, investors have been piling into commodity markets and the oil market.
According to Bain, oil producers want to find a price that's just right, high enough to finance their fiscal needs, but low enough to keep Americans from changing their driving habits. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Greenland today for a meeting of the Arctic Council. She's the first U.S. Secretary of State to attend an Arctic Council meeting, and she's going because climate change is having a big environmental and economic impact in the Arctic region. For more on this, let's bring in our sustainability reporter, Scott Tong, who's with us from Washington. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
So what are we expecting from this meeting in Greenland?
Well, the meeting is a group called the Arctic Council, and they expect an agreement to come out on search and rescue operations for potential disasters in the Arctic waters. We've already had one cruise ship that ran aground in the Arctic recently, and there are going to be other ships there. With less ice, more commercial ships will sail through there as well, from Russia, Asia, North America, Scandinavia. And of course, we're going to be seeing more high-tech ships drilling for oil and gas in the Arctic. The last month brought two big oil discoveries, one off of Greenland, one in the Arctic Circle. So also on the agenda at this meeting is how do you prepare for an oil spill in these treacherous waters?
And it sounds like with this oil discovery and also with these new shipping lanes, climate change may have produced the next big thing economically.
Well, no one is saying it's an unvarnished good. The melting polar ice caps, they raise sea levels.
Right.
They impact 4 million indigenous people who live in the areas, irreversible effect on marine ecosystems. The stakeholders say the challenge is to balance those concerns with the economic opportunity. Jobs, tax revenues, oil and gas royalties. I spoke today to Charles Doran at Johns Hopkins, and he says it's sort of like the gold rush of the 1800s.
We had a very violent development of the West, which, of course, is legendary. On the Canadian side, it was far more orderly because the government had established actual police work in advance of some of this development.
So the lesson, Jeremy, is to get the rules right before the actual game.
And what's the potential for conflict between countries here?
Well, a big one is country boundaries. Right now, it's generally accepted that each country has a 200-mile economic zone where their waters belong to them. Hmm. Beyond that could be the question. Already the Russians have gone to the Arctic and planted a Russian flag. Well, actually, they sank a titanium Russian flag in the seabed. You know, great publicity stunt. The experts say the notion of conflict for now could be overstated. The key is to manage it. And the first thing is to do surveillance and to know who's sniffing around up there.
Marketplace's Scott Tong with us from Washington. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down this morning across Europe and Asia. The future of carmaker Saab is uncertain this morning after a financing deal with a Chinese company collapsed. Saab was sold by General Motors last year as part of GM's exit from bankruptcy. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 130 points to close at 12,630.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
The United Kingdom is the number one overseas destination for American travelers, but a new Lonely Planet guide says tourists might want to think twice about visiting. The guide says the UK is full of overpriced restaurants and boring tourist attractions. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Overcrowded, overrated, and overpriced, that's the Lonely Planet Guide's unflattering assessment of much of Britain. The county of Surrey, it says, is dull and boring. Essex is full of aggressive working-class youth. Dover is depressing. And don't go to Durham unless you only want to visit the cathedral. The review is sure to be a blow to Britain's $25 billion a year tourist industry. But lead author David Else makes no apology for candour.
We don't take advertising. We're not in any kind of link with the local tourism promotions people. We travel incognito. We pay our own way. And that gives us the freedom to tell it as it is.
And he says that while expensive, some parts of Britain are still the most fascinating places in the world to explore. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, to Saginaw, Michigan, where 92 years ago, a lumber baron named Wellington Burt died, but he didn't want to leave his fortune to his family. In fact, he stipulated in his will that almost all of his cash could not go to his living descendants. Well, now all of those living descendants have died, and his $100 million fortune will be divvied up among family members who never knew him. A local historian says he still can't understand what got old Wellington so ticked off in the first place. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Zyrtec, Zyprexa, Zyvox. Drug names, of course, difficult to pronounce, difficult to understand, and in desperate need of a vowel.
It's getting to be a little bit like the Slovak language, difficult to pronounce, difficult to deal with.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the big business of naming drugs. We'll have the day's headlines as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.